Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Friday afternoon, September 22nd, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene from noon till 1 o'clock. It was a sack lunch saturation session during our revival season where Reverend James Sproul came and shared the word with us.
Well, happy Friday. Good afternoon. If you were here last night, you feel like you were just here, maybe. I know Jared feels that way. I walked in and saw him vacuuming the floor, so he might have slept here. Well, welcome. Glad you're here today. I know you're not here to listen to me, so I won't talk much. We're here for James to share some encouragement. I think I've told every table, but there's pizza over here if you haven't found it yet. And if you're waiting to see if anyone else will eat it, just go ahead and eat some. I'm glad you're here. I do want to remind you before James comes up and speaks that we have a weekend of activities going on here, and you're just invited to join in whenever you can. Some of you, maybe this is the only time you felt like you could, and we're glad you're here, but maybe there's another time. We'll meet this evening at 6:30 for a service. John and Mandy Lawson will be leading worship. Pastor John, we're excited. If you haven't heard them lead worship, you're in for a treat. It'll be really good. And then James, of course, will be bringing the word. And we'll have dinner before at 5:30. Now, I wasn't totally aware that Butch was going to bring pizza today, so I will warn you that we're eating pizza at 5:30 today. So if you want to double up on your pizza intake today, whatever. It's for revival, so it's holy. It's like manna. There's no problem eating that much pizza, but just a simple dinner. So if you know others that you want to invite, just say, hey, come at 5:30, and dinner's on us tonight. And so we have activities for kids tonight. I think students are going out tonight after middle school, high school students. So if you just know people, just invite them. There's stuff happening. And then tomorrow, the men will gather in here at 7 o'clock for a brief breakfast time, some prayer together. And again, James will share a little bit with us as men. But we'll just invite you, men, and if you know other men to come that morning, we'll keep it brief so you can go mow your grass or whatever you got to do tomorrow, but it'll be worth your time. And then we're excited to have an all-church picnic tomorrow night, so that should excite you. We have a lot of inflatable stuff for the kids coming, so I'm just saying all that to say it's going to be a good weekend. Show up when you can. And when you can't, just pray for us. It'll be good. So I'm going to pray over the food that you're already eating, in case you forgot to pray for it. And James has always got something. He was sharing a little bit in the teaching church yesterday with us. And I think he was trying not to share too much because he didn't want to give away all his messages. But it was good. So I know that the Lord's got something great for us over this coming weekend. So let's bow our heads for a minute and quiet our hearts. And his presence is already here. It's already been among us. But let's recognize his presence. Jesus, you're here. Thank you. You're so faithful. And as James comes to share with us today, you will be faithful sharing through him today, your servant. I know that his only desire today is to be your instrument, that he would speak your words. He doesn't desire for anybody to have to hear James speak. But he wants the Spirit of the living God to fill him. And so we pray not just for this gathering, but tonight as we come together and we worship, as we share a meal together and then all generations come together, I pray that you would be in our gatherings this weekend, Lord. I pray that you would inhabit the praise of your people. I pray that you would do something in us, Lord. We need spiritual renewal. I pray that you would do that. You would meet us right where we are and we would invite others to come along in this journey. We love you, and now we anticipate what it is that you want to say during this hour together in your name. Amen. Well, come on up. Can we applaud for you? Is that allowed?
No.
It's not allowed? Well, then we'll definitely do it.
Thank you. Before I share with you what's on my heart, I brought a picture. I know this is a puny little thing, but I wanted to give something to the church, I may not take the time tonight to tell everybody, but you can pass it along. I won't tell you about this picture. Of course, this is a male hummingbird. I made this about 3 weeks ago. I got to thinking one day, I wonder if I made a little cross, I could get a hummingbird to perch on it. Okay. And so, do you know how small it is? So this cross is like made with pencil-sized sticks. So I go out and find me some sticks and get some glue and make this cross and think about where am I going to put it out here now, because I watch hummingbirds. So I put it and I get my camera and I sit there and I say, now, Jesus, I sure would like for you to get one of your angels to make a hummingbird light on my cross. I need this. Because it's a scriptural thing. In Romans, and this is a scripture, Romans 8:21 says that the creation itself, that's hummingbirds, also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, it was not only so you and I could be forgiven and saved, it was a part of the process of him reclaiming his creation. He created it all. And like a computer virus, Satan has entered the virus of evil and sin into the world and messed everything up. Think about, this is why, and this is not the subject, but I'm going to share this anyway. Think about original creation. It was a perfect expression of God's creativity, all of the beauty. And sin entered, and so the planet has never got to live under the dominion of Jesus. Satan is here trying to mess up everything. And so that's why I personally believe in the millennial reign of Christ that the Bible speaks of in Revelation 20, I guess it is, where it says he will reign for 1,000 years. My belief is that he will literally come back and reign from Jerusalem, and his church, his people, will reign with him across the land. And so that's why I wanted to put this together. I think it's an original idea. And so I sat there wondering how long it would take. And it wasn't very long till this little guy came and perched. And my heart was going, I hope I've got my settings all right in order to get this. And I made a number of pictures. And then I thought, it sure would be nice to have a female come and perch. And so I've got one with a female on it too, both a male and a female. It would have been great, but the Lord didn't see fit to put a female on one side and a male on the other. But I thought I was asking for too much, so I just took what I had. But I don't know, you can find a corner or something where to stick it so you can see it, because you mean so much to Mary and me, and she sends her love. But I didn't have time because I've been pastoring, but I want to put a walnut frame and make some of these better, so I might bring another one if I live long enough with a decent frame on it. But anyway, this is for the church. I don't know who will decide where to put it, but there it is.
Can we take it to our homes and like share it?
Take a picture of it. I love doing it. This is another one of my favorite shots that I got of a Hummer. It's a spiritual thing for me. A lot of people think you have to go to church to enjoy the presence of God. I'm learning to worship God with all of my senses. I may have taught this, but some of us are not musical. I'm not musical. Music is not, I love last night, but music is not the venue that I worship the most with, because I'm not musical. That's okay. I love good music. It feeds me. But my eyes are probably more my instrument of worship than my voice or my ears. But think about this, and I'll challenge you. This is just a little parenthesis here. God made you, and you think of all of our senses, touch, taste. Most of the time we think, we narrow our worship
this is important to the Lord. You don't have to wait to Sunday to worship God. You don't have to wait till they play your song. I walk, and sometimes I'm overwhelmed, and I just stop in my tracks. And I told the Lord the other day, I'm just a grain of sand in the universe. So insignificant. And you're so much more than I can even fathom what you are. I thought of Jesus said, Lord, Father, I want you to, my disciples to be with me that they may behold my glory, the glory I had with you from the beginning. He was saying, they've walked with me for 3 years. They still don't get it, who I am. I'm the creator. And so I just stop and worship him and thank him for who he is and for his great creation. So I challenge you to broaden your worship. Thank God for music. It is a big part of our lives, and it's all in the scripture. But did you ever hear of, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good? Man, I thank him all the time for the taste of chocolate. Who, the day he made the chocolate, the cocoa bean, that was a great day for me. And you think about your hearing and your sight and your touch. I remember the Lord was teaching me this, and I was laying the other day. This may sound silly for an old man. I was laying out in the yard in the grass. In fact, I had a thought, if Mary looks out here and sees, she's going to think I've had a heart attack and died. But I was laying in the grass with my cat, Grayson. Y'all know about Grayson? Well, we had a stray cat that gave birth to kittens, and they were in our garage, and Tramp had died, and so we were kind of lonely. And Mary and I said, well, let's keep two of the kittens, two females. One is yellow, Sadie. And the other one was gray, and we were older. And Mary said, well, you know, if we named her Gracie, it'd be easy to remember her name. So we had Gracie and Sadie. And we decided we didn't want any more cats, two's enough. So we had an appointment, and we took them to get them fixed. And he brought them back in a box. And Gracie went as Gracie. When the box came back, it said, Grayson. Sorry about that. I like to show a picture of it. He's a great cat, I'm telling you. He's wonderful.
It
reminds
you to pray for Grayson.
It does. Yeah, I think about it. Yeah. I've also thought, I hope he will understand this. It didn't start out, Grayson. But I'd be happy if his name was James, because he's a wonderful cat. Anyway... I'm laying in the grass, and Grayson is there. He likes for me to play with him and get down on his level. And I'm laying in the grass, and I was thinking about this worship thing, you know. You don't have to sing. And I was rubbing, feeling of his fur. I mean, it could be a mink. He has such beautiful fur. And I was feeling touch, you know. And all of a sudden, I made the connection. Lord, this is your creation. I'm touching. I'm feeling. You did this. So it was a worship moment. And you see, the enemy, if the enemy can find our worship to a certain time or a certain place, there's a lot of time we can't be at that place, or it doesn't happen like we want. But if you make worship a way of your life, every time, all day, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm just learning that. They don't teach that at seminary, college, or anywhere else. I've thought a lot. I've been praying about what to spend a little time with you, and I don't know that I'll finish this, but I'll introduce the idea. There's a lot of pressures these days in life. There's lots of bad news. I have started to restrict my viewing of the news. It's not that I don't want to be in touch, but it will absolutely overwhelm you. It's so loud. It's so in your face. Two earthquakes, two hurricanes, $20 trillion in debt, $5 for every tree on the face of the earth is what the debt of America is. That's all the jungle and every tree, $5 a tree. And all of the speculation of where that's taking us and what may happen. And the Middle East problem, the North Korean problem, all of that can just totally overwhelm you as a Christian. But we're the people with hope. And I was thinking about, what is the antidote? How do I cope with all of this that's real? And I started realizing that the Lord has made some promises to us. And those promises are real. And if we open our hearts to His promises, they more than compensate for all the bad news. The good news is better than the bad news on the worst day.
Amen.
And it's really simple. This is elementary. So what has He promised us? He's promised us His presence. And I know Pastor Carey has talked about this. There's a book on practicing the presence of God. I always had a little trouble with that title, like you got to practice it. It's not. Here's the thing about the Lord's presence. It is the fact of His presence is more important than the feeling of His presence. The fact of His presence. So if we live our lives only experiencing His presence when we feel His presence, we close Him out. I looked up the scripture early this morning. I remembered it was in Revelation 3:20, and I just wanted to read it again. It comes at the end of the messages to the seven churches, and we're in there somewhere. And it's not a message to the world. I've heard evangelists preach, you know, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking on the... No, this is when He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come in and dine or fellowship with him, he with me." That message is not to the world. That message is to God, His people. And I was thinking about Jesus knocking, and we don't... If we get so involved in the bad news, we don't hear the knock. Now, when you think about it, whose door is knocking? It's your door. He's already there. I'm amazed at how often in churches where I go, people beg for Jesus to come. And I don't say anything. I want to be gracious. And I'm thinking, well, haven't they read the book?
Yeah.
He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you."
Amen.
Never. Not one second, not one moment. So let me say it again. I'd like for you to remember this. The fact of His, the promise of His presence is more important than the feeling of His presence. I'm not diminishing the importance of feeling. I love goosebump, religious goosebumps, you know, when you feel. But you don't have them all the time. And you may not have them in the moments that you need by faith to know He's there. You may not have the goosebumps, but you know He's there. The promise of His presence. I was thinking about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I was thinking, well, it's my door. He's already here. And I remember as a pastor going to visit somebody, and when you get out of the car, you hear the TV. And going up on the porch, and there's so much noise in the house and knock, they don't hear the knock at all. Because they're so distracted by all the noise and what's going on in the house. Well, that's kind of like all of our lives. You know, we get up, and we can be so distracted by what's around us, what's happening, what the news says, what's going on in our families. And I've been living with this verse the last couple of years. I said to Him a lot of times, "Jesus, now You said that if I would open the door..." And I told Him one time, "Lord, I'm going to take my door off the hinges. I'd like to live in a way that You don't have to knock, that I'm never distracted. You know, I want You, I want Your presence." His presence means everything in life situation. And faith in His presence is so important. What you have to do is learn to answer the door. He knocks in a thousand different ways in life. You know, what is the knock? The knock is saying, I'm here. It's trying to get your attention. And there's so many ways that he knocks on the door of our life to try to get us to recognize, hey, I'm here. I'm on your porch. You don't have to beg me to come. I'm here. You just have to open the door. And, of course, we're all aware of that famous picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And there's no latch on the outside. It's only on the inside. And there's a lot of truth to that. I've learned that Jesus never kicked doors in. His people, he didn't come up. And he will knock louder sometimes if you're not listening, because he loves you. But that's why we can look down the road and say there is one thing we can count on in our journey. Wherever I am, when I get there, Jesus will be not just with me, but in me. We just live that. It's always sad to see somebody die, but over the years as a pastor, I've tried to see facing death in a deeper dimension than just the last breath. I've really paid attention to the spiritual aspect of dying and leaving here and how people face it. And, you know, I mean, I've observed things I never even voice or say because I want, Lord, teach me about this moment. And one of the things that I can tell you after 43 and a half years of being a pastor and longer than that is for people who trust Jesus, they may live their life and not live with many goosebumps at all, but if they have Jesus in their life, there's always the manifestation of his presence.
Yes, yes.
In the difficult moment of dying.
Yes. Yes.
My son-in-law, David, young man, young to me, in his 50s, who took over the church that I pastored 19 years, of course, most of you, at least some of you know, he went to heaven this year, and he was in the hospital. I was there the hardest day I've ever lived. He went in the hospital thinking he just had a blockage and it was going to be taken care of and no problem. Vanderbilt. I'll never forget this day. And he thought everything was going to be fine. And we were in there, and I'm in there with his wife, my daughter Megan. And the doctors come out before the surgery's over and announce that his abdomen is covered in cancer and there's nothing they can do. He's terminal. And I think the thing I dreaded the very most was the moment we had to tell him, knowing that when they put him to sleep, he expected to come out with good news and have to say to him what we had to say. I'm telling you, it was one of the darkest days I've ever lived. So they had given him an epidural. I wasn't happy about that, because I know he's going to come out very alert. He's not going to be droggy, and it's not going to be a gradual thing. It's going to be getting hit in the face with a sledgehammer. So when they bring him out, oh, I wouldn't go through that moment again for any amount of money. Roll him in, and we're all trying to think how we're going to deal with this. You deal with it with the presence of Jesus. It's not an accident that when the first Christian martyr happened, with Stephen, I think a lot of times people miss the message. There's messages deeper than the message that you just read it. So Jesus redeems his people and births his church, and he moves. This is what Pentecost is about. I love what the rabbi, what was said last night. I don't know if you caught it, but he talked about portable arks. You know, the ark is the presence of God. I'd say portable holy of holies. I preached on the day of Pentecost, the day God moved. And he moved from a place to people. He took up residence in people, not in buildings, but in people. And he promised to be with us. And so when the first one of his people, first temple got destroyed, and he was in it, it's really neat to me that the Lord pulled the curtain back so it could be recorded in the book of Acts for all of us, that when you get ready to leave this world, you're never alone. He's always attending. Jesus, I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus attends the death of all of his children. He's always there. My son-in-law, after we had to tell him, and it was incredible how he took it, and we gathered around. You know, somebody had to go home and get his daughter, and of course it was really hard on her, Emma, 13 years old. But we prayed. And during this time, from that time till he went to hospice, again and again, he said to Megan, has this all written down. I wish you could have come and shared some of it with you. He said to her, to my daughter, he said, Megan, it's real, it's real. And he said, Jesus is so wonderful. And when he got near the end, he would have his moments when he would come back. And he was in hospice. And what he had seen and experienced, he was anxious to get out of here. He got aggravated that he's still in his body, because he'd been, from what he's seen. And the last day or two, he said to Megan, kind of came around and said, where am I? You said, well, you're in Nashville. He said, well, what, you tell the nurses to get their acts together and let me go. And this is the powerful thing. This is the difference in his presence and the absence of someone. So here are these people in hospice. Now, no offense, I'm just telling you what happened, okay? This is not judgment. Right down the hall, there's a Muslim dying. And the people working in hospice said, we feel the difference. When we go down to that room, it's darkness. But when we come here, it's light. Mm-hmm. Light.
Yes.
I stood in Vanderbilt with a medical doctor. I was there. She hugged our neck. Elizabeth was there, and Megan was there, and David was there. And that's after he had been given the diagnosis. And this medical doctor said to me and to Megan, there is such a difference in this room and other places. In fact, she said, we have a conference coming up in the fall about death and dying, and said to Megan, Elizabeth, would you two be willing to come and speak? And what she didn't know, what was the difference? I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth. It was the presence of Jesus that makes all the difference in the world. And I know what you think. You think like I do. Well, I'm so imperfect, and I don't know if that'll be true for me. If you only knew me, I don't deserve that. Welcome to the club. You don't have to be perfect for Jesus to be there. You just have to love him. You're not an exception. I feel the same way. I've had moments since as a pastor when I voiced what I felt. It wasn't the truth. But as a pastor, I remember saying to someone, I may have told you this before, but it's important for me to be honest. I've said to a man one time as a pastor, I said, you know, sometimes I think if I make it to heaven, I'll be the most surprised of all. It's just what I felt. And I know the truth is you feel that way too. The enemy likes to make you think, well, you just don't measure up. You're not like David. David wasn't a perfect person. He's my son-in-law. I know him. He was not. He had a lot of weaknesses. But he loved Jesus. And what I'm speaking to you today and to all of us is, it's so true that whatever is on the road down the way in the world, whatever your age, it's not just about death and dying. It's about what could happen to our country or about a nuclear exchange with North Korea. Whatever is down the road, you have something going for you, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You have the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who said, I will be there with you.
Yes.
You will not face the dastardly deeds of the sin and evil alone. Mm-hmm. I will never forsake you.
Amen.
The last thing David said, he motioned for Megan, put his arm up and pulled her down, and said, I love you. I have always loved you. And he wanted her to know what he had preached. He said, it's real. It's real. So I want to encourage you. Don't let the noise of CNN or Fox or the Republicans or the Democrats or the financial news, don't let the noise of the world keep you from hearing the knock of Jesus. Live with one ear tuned, listening for his knock, because he knocks and he's there. But what he's wanting you to do, instead of being captured by what's going on inside your situation in the moment, he wants you to be blessed with his presence, with assurance. It may not change anything except his presence. For me, changes everything. In his presence, things look different. Things change if he's there. If you're in the boat with Jesus, I don't care, you know, I don't care how bad the storm gets. It ain't gonna sink. Just enjoy the storm. I guess we better quit, hadn't we? Gotta get back to. Maybe we'll continue tomorrow. Anybody have a question? I think about the presence of the Lord, and I think about how often we ask him to come. I don't know how he feels about that when he's told us so many places he wouldn't leave us. And John, I read John again last night or this morning, and he said, I will be in you, and you will be in me, and I'll be there. And then, and I don't know how to deal with this. Maybe you can help me sometimes. I've been in so many prayer meetings where God's people are begging Jesus to come. And I'm on my knees thinking, I don't know why I should ask him to come when he always, either he's in me. The scripture says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Romans 8.
Acknowledge.
Huh?
Acknowledge his presence.
Yeah. So the issue is so right, Gary. The issue is to acknowledge his presence. But you don't acknowledge it if you don't hear it. If you are distracted by your bank account and distracted by the news of the cancer or the stroke, and that's the loudest thing you hear, then he knocks, and he knocks. And it's a way of the enemy getting us to feel like we're alone. But you're not alone. You're not alone. As a servant of God, there will never be a moment when you're alone. Somebody asked me, don't you hate driving alone? I said, no, I'm not alone. It's not just a religious thing with me. I'm telling you the truth, folks. You know, I go walking. I don't walk alone. I say to Jesus, you don't mind if I bring my camera, do you? I mean, that's really what I do and say. And I go out sometimes and sit and say, Jesus, I have nothing to say to you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. And I'm listening. You got something to say to me? I'd really like to hear it. It is a promise. It is a promise in the Word of God that He will be with us. And He sticks by His promise. I guess maybe it'd be good just to have a moment. I don't want to keep you long because I want you to come back tomorrow. And we'll move on to other promises that God has made that will help us deal with life today, whatever your age. There's wonderful promises. What does the knock sound like? You ever think about that? You think Jesus has ever knocked at your life, at your heart, and you didn't recognize it? It was muffled by all of the... I know He has mine. You know, it's like Carrie says, but to acknowledge His presence, you've got to realize that you hear His knock. What do you think about the knock? What do you think? What does it sound like? How do you recognize the knock of Jesus in your life? You think He ever would use somebody else to knock? Somebody else's voice? You think He would ever use the Scripture as a knock? See, we so often take things literally. We're not expecting to hear that. It's not going to be that. I've had moments. He can knock. His knock takes many, many different variety of ways. It can be what somebody says to you. It can be something you hear on the radio or a moment on TV. And Jesus is knocking. Anybody have a problem with that? It's really something we ought to think about. If He says to all of us, you can count, He didn't say to some of you, to a few of you, to the spiritual ones of you, to the ones that have it all right and are holy and good. He's talking to His church, every one of us. And He said, I'm at your door and I'm knocking. And I'd like for you to go away today thinking about recognizing that knock. He knocked at my heart's door today. And I just now got it. He was knocking. Because I have been thinking about your pastor and wife, Kim. He's one of the most generous people I've ever known. So I've been praying, is the Lord will make me more generous. I'm stingy with chocolate. I hide chocolate bars. I'm serious. I've just been working on this generosity thing. And Mary's had this broken foot and she couldn't walk. And I've had to wait on her. She's up and going some now. And I've had to bring her something to eat. And man, I'm good at opening a can of tuna. And I'm great at the peanut butter banana sandwich and all this stuff I've done. And I love these little big black plums that are on the market right now, you know. And while she's been sick, and I realize now the Lord has been knocking, I'd say, you want a plum, babe? Yeah, bring me one. So if she's going to eat one, I'm always going to eat one. And since I'm getting them, most of my life, I'm sad to say, I'd have washed them both. I'd have got both good plums, but I'd pick the best one, the biggest one, give her the other one. That's awful, I know. Disappoints you then. So I've been praying the Lord to make me less selfish. So deliberately, during all of her sickness, I flip-flopped that. I decided whatever I bring her to eat, I want her to have the one I would choose. Now, you might think, what does that have to do with knocking? Everything. The Lord's present. He is not selfish. He's gracious. He knocks in a lot of ways. He's trying to get my attention, see. Are you with me? And so that's the area I've been working on in my life. Lord, help me to be more generous, to be willing to give things away. And I want to be more generous. It's just, I grew up so poor, I have a tendency to hold it, you know. I grew up going barefooted and without house and no water, and I grew up poor, so, man, we get our hands on it, we won't let it go. And it's a way of life. And I said, oh, Lord, I want to become a more generous person. So help me. And so I was already working on that. And then I get in the car and come here to the service this morning with your pastor. And what does he do? There's a lady who's probably going to use it for drugs. But it doesn't matter. With God, it's not what the person that receives it does with it. It's your act of generosity and kindness. That's what God does. Doesn't matter if they burn it. And we pull up there, and he's fumbling his billfold, and here's this lady, and I'm looking at her, thinking, poor thing, you know, she's, what a horrible thing. And he probably didn't like me telling this, but God just affirmed and knocking louder on my heart, saying, you're on the right track with generosity. And I looked, and I thought, he's giving her a $5 bill. I could buy 5 Hershey bars with that. Only chocolate lovers understand that. How many chocolate lovers? And he pulled up and handed this lady $5. Now, most of my life, I would have never seen that as God knocking. I would have never seen that. I would have right over my head. But when I want his presence and I want to please him and I want to fellowship with him, that's my desire. And he's knocking, saying, yeah, I want to fellowship with you. And one way to get the door open is you'd be more generous and less selfish and give Mary the best and all, then our relationship will move to a new dimension. Presence. You don't have to beg. I'm speaking as Christians. You do not have to beg God to come.
Yes. Amen.
He has already come. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. We've just got to learn to answer the door. Thank you. I love you. My daughter, we're finished, but just thinking about the presence, I still to this day have no idea how she did it. We had the funeral service for David, and I guess thousands. It was unbelievable how many people came, because he had served as a mayor of the county, and everybody respected him as a Christian. And it was rainy and stormy the day he was buried, so we left the church, and the funeral director said, we get there and it's pouring rain, we'll just have to go in the chapel and just wait. Everybody went. So we get there, and sure enough, it's raining. So we all go in the chapel and to wait. And one of his friends who had driven from Kentucky got up and said some beautiful things that he didn't get to say at the funeral. And then my daughter, a wife, sitting on the front seat, launched into that song, what's the name of it, Carrie? You can have this world, but give me Jesus. And she sang that through, just sitting there.
When it comes my time to die.
When it comes my time to die, give me Jesus. She sang that a cappella all the way through. And everybody's just sitting there. How can this wife, who's lost her husband, how could she possibly do that? I can tell you how Jesus was there. Praise the Lord. Bless the name.
It's all about him being present. Well, Brother Adrian prophesied it a few weeks ago, and he proved that he is a true prophet, because it happened last night. I had a real high watermark in my soul last evening. It's still flowing today. But I told Rabbi Paul Glasson to tell Paul Wilbur he wasn't leaving Harrisonburg until he sang my heart's theme song. that he wrote, In Your Presence, O God. And I told Paul last night in the Gethsemane room before the service, I think it was, I could have told him afterwards, that that song is the soundtrack of my soul. And James may talk more about it, but when he was talking about Megan singing that song, that was David's song. And it was the song that he sings in the night. He was asking people, one of his last messages he preached, or last testimonies, he was asking people, what's the song you sing in the night? And his song was, Give Me Jesus. And this would be my song. And I'm just going to read the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it. You heard it sung last night. If you didn't, I'm sorry you didn't. In Your presence, that's where I am strong. In Your presence, O Lord my God. In Your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking Your face, touching Your grace. In the cleft of the rock. In Your presence, O God. And in that line last night, I've heard the old hymn all my life. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. But last night, for the first time ever with that language, Jesus showed me that He was the rock. And it was like He just had His big embrace around me and said, there's the cleft. I've never seen that. I won't forget it. I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on the rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me, in Your presence, O God. I want to hide where the flood of evil cannot reach me,
Amen.
Where I'm covered by the blood. I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me, in Your presence, O God. You are my firm foundation. I trust in You all day long. I am Your child and Your servant, and You are my strength and my song. You're my song. Seeking Your face, touching Your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in Your presence, O God, in Your presence. Lord Jesus, we are grateful today that we get to hear good news. How beautiful are the feet of James Sproul, the feet that bring good news. Lord, we've had a rare opportunity in this church over, I've been here 23 and a third years, and James is making his 24th visit. And that doesn't count the Sunday he came for some kind of anniversary of ours. He's been here 24 times to preach revival. And there's something beautiful about watching a life over 24 years. Oh my Lord, what a gift that has been. And we pray today for Mary. We know she would love to be here. She said so this morning on the phone. Just wanted to make sure I checked James over before he left the house. To make sure his hair was right and his clothes were not a mess. And so I'll do all that. He'll check me. I'll check him. And we'll make sure we're all right. So we pray for her today at home with Sadie and Grayson. And feeding the hummingbirds in the backyard as they're about to make their departure for the Caribbean. Lord, today for those who have come in for this lunch, maybe it was a sacrifice of time. Maybe it wasn't convenient. But I truly believe that You have placed on our hearts today a seal of comfort. And to know what James has been through this year, watch the heartbreak of his daughter and his granddaughters and his own heart, and to still be able to say, it is well with my soul. It gives us confidence, Lord. And so we thank You that we get to see You in the life of James Sproul. We pray that the knocks on the doors of our heart this week will be evident that You have sent James to knock on our heart's doors. And there may be some compartments that we've got padlocks on that we don't want to let you in. And I pray, Lord, that we'll bring the bolt cutters. And we'll allow you to open every door you want to go into. Amen. That there will be nothing hidden.
Yes.
And so, Lord, I pray that tomorrow when we gather at 7 with the men, there won't be too many men late because they'll miss it. It'll be over at 8:15. But at 7 o'clock, I pray that you will work in the hearts of the men, because Tony Evans said, as go the men, so go the church. He wasn't discrediting the ladies. He said, I know they're going to do their part. But as go the men, so goes the church. As goes the church, so go the families. As go the families, so goes the community. As goes the community, so goes the commonwealth. As goes the commonwealth, so goes the country. As goes the country, so goes the world. So in the morning, Lord, I pray that men will be rattled to be here. You'll wake them up in the night and give them strong unction to come and to be with us. And then tomorrow at 5, when we gather for a kind of our version of dinner on the grounds, it'll be on these grounds. I'm not sure exactly of the working logistics, but many of our life groups and others are going to be bringing the food. And we need a time of fellowship. We just need this. And this beautiful weather you've given us, we just pray it'll hold out tomorrow. We can have that time from 5 to 6:15 or whatever the time frame is. And then we'll meet in the sanctuary to have our heart doors knocked on again. And be with John and Mandy. I know that they've been going through some deep water with precious Jeanette, and finding out that she has some things going on. They didn't surprise you. You're not going to abandon her. But I pray that you will use this season to deepen their worship and to lead us to a deeper place. I would suppose hearing James share about David will help John and Mandy to be able to know they can still minister. Sometimes when we minister in the storm, we have greater effect. And so we're looking forward to Saturday evening and then on Sunday morning. But tonight, Lord, we're going to gather at 6:30. Some will come at 5:30 to share a pizza. But at 6:30 tonight is the next time we get to be together. I pray that if there's people we should invite or remind, it's so easy these days to invite people and remind them. You know, we can do it with a text, with an email, with a phone call, with a stop by the house or the workplace. And it's not this sense that we're inviting people to church to be saved. That can happen. I believe people need to hear our story out where they are. But the people who have claimed you, who are in a discouraging place, they maybe should be the ones we should be inviting tonight. Those who have said recently, had someone just say to me recently that their faith is on trial. They're going through a difficult spot. And I pray that those people especially will show up to be encouraged. And so to the God who can light a male or female Hummer on a wooden cross in the woods in Pegram, Tennessee, we give thanks for this day. And I pray that you will meet every need represented in this room according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And the people said, go in peace. Thank you for showing up.